The Blaze Radio Network. On demand.
Glenn Beck.
It's Friday, August 24th. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
So I want to talk to you here about South Africa. I want to talk to you, and I need you to hear that the world is on the edge. And I'll make the case here in a little while. I don't think I need to, but I'll make the case that it's worse than I think we think. And the last thing we do, the worst thing that could happen is for all of us to go off half-cocked and play into the hands of anyone who wants to create chaos and more hatred. So, what's really going on in South Africa? I can tell you that we have been on this story for, Jason, a couple of months, you think? 3 months?
At least, maybe even longer.
Okay. And we have been looking at it, and we have not been talking about it very much because something's wrong, and we haven't been able to figure it out, and we haven't been able to get anybody that we thought was clean on either side. I've seen really slick documentaries claiming that there is a white genocide in progress. It sounds feasible. I've heard activists from South Africa talking on cable news. I've heard horrible, horrible stories. I've seen some pictures. Now, apparently, these stories have trickled down to the White House. On Wednesday, President Trump tweeted that he was directing the Secretary of State to look into, quote, South Africa land and farm seizures and expropriations of a large-scale killing of farmers. This would be good unless you understand the current climate. CNN immediately went into, this is a hoax. This isn't happening. And they did what they're always doing now, and that is just be diametrically opposed to the president no matter what he says. All he said was we need to look into this. How can you be against that? But by them taking this hard stance that's crazy, now it pits half of the country saying, no, it's not crazy. And it gives the opportunity for anybody who wants to cause trouble to start into the deep state in case it's not happening. If the Secretary of State comes back and says it's not really happening, it will be blamed on the deep state. And we will already have chosen sides, not based on fact, based on the fact that CNN said, he's a buffoon. He's a conspiracy theorist. This is just Nazi propaganda. I urge you, do not take a side in this. Because if you do, you stand a very good chance of making things worse. Our outrage has got to be, we have to get it under control. Okay. There is no question that white farmers have been victims of some horrific violent attacks. Please look up some of these stories. They are awful. These attacks, are they part of a white genocide? Well, this is what many on the alt-right and white supremacist groups have claimed. And this is what has stopped us. Because we can't find credible sources. We find alt-right and alt-light reporting this. The sad reality is, when they began talking about this, it made most of the mainstream media stay away from it. Traditional media sources stayed quiet. Why? Could be postmodernism. Could be they think that nobody's going to watch it. Could be they think nobody in America is going to care. Or the typical, well, I don't trust Americans. They find out about this and they're just going to go start killing black people. Now we're too busy killing Muslims, aren't we? Oh, and immigrants, too. Meanwhile, farmers keep getting killed, and the South African government continues to spiral down their Marxist abyss. Now, make no mistake, the new president, I believe, is a racist. The new president of South Africa, he is also a diehard socialist. Their government is set to modify the constitution, making it legal to seize farms without compensation. In fact, Stu, didn't they just pass this just a few hours ago?
We're looking into that. I'm not sure.
Okay. All of this is happening. But is white genocide happening? In this day and age, it is absolutely crucial for all of us to look at every story, every headline, every narrative with a dose of healthy skepticism. Check multiple sources. Check and recheck who wrote it. Where is the source of the information coming from? Do they have an agenda? Do not take anyone's word for it. Do not take my word for it. You must do your own homework, but you have to look for the connections of who is this reporter? Who are the friends of this reporter? What is the platform of this reporter? The problem that we've had checking out this story is that most people who fall on the side of this is white genocide are only getting their information from one source. They always quote or reference a group called Afroforum. Okay. Anytime a vast majority are getting all of their information from one source, that should set off an alarm. Their information indeed shows a steady increase in farm attacks and murders since 2013. They lean heavily towards the line of whites are being specifically targeted. Now, if you're in the alt-right, alt-light, or even white supremacist, you read that study, and what's the first narrative you see? White genocide. It makes the case even stronger when you add in the rise of Marxism and the calls for land redistribution. But let's use this story as sort of a model in this era of potential fake news. No matter what story you're looking at in the future, let's approach it in a similar fashion. First and foremost, we need to acknowledge the findings of Afroforum. Every source is quoting them. We have to recognize that they have legitimate concerns for what they're advocating for. We can't ignore what they're saying. But that's what the majority of the mainstream news has done over the past, two or so years. That hasn't helped anything. So we have to acknowledge the information, but we also then have to check it and compare it to multiple sources. And here's where it starts to break down. If you compare Afroforum stats with the official South African police numbers, now that's a government agency, they may have an agenda to hide stuff. We have to acknowledge that. You'll find when you look at the two, they're pretty comparable. If you add in the numbers from the South Africa Agricultural Union, you'll also find pretty much the same thing. Farm attacks and murders over the past few years are rising. Okay. But if you look at the numbers going back now in time, let's not just look at today. Let's look at where did they come from? If you go back all the way to 1996, you're going to see that the current swing upward is actually fairly mild in comparison and typical. In 1996, there were 433 attacks on South African farms. But in 2001, that number had skyrocketed to 1,069. The numbers were then cut in half by 2005, and they rose back up to near 800 in 2007. Now, it's back to back, up and down, until the current swing up over the past few years. The call of white genocide has begun in just over the past couple of years. In 2016, 2017, there were 638 farm attacks and 74 murders. Those are real. But remember, in 2001, there were over 1,000 attacks and 140 murders. Literally twice as bad as it is today. And no one was saying white genocide back then. South Africa stopped recording a motive for farm attacks after 2001. So we don't really have any concrete current information for why this is happening today. But I think it's pretty safe to say when you have, you know, the leader of your country saying the time for reconciliation is over, the redistribution of wealth from those people who stole our land. Yeah, I mean, it's pretty safe to say it's not a big stretch to think that that's probably what's happening here. But in 2001, when these attacks were at their worst, the vast majority were determined to be robberies. Only 15 were found to be racially or politically motivated. Can you trust that stat? I don't know. A closer look at South Africa as a whole shows that its crime rate is spiraling out of control, as it always does when you have socialists in power. Oh, next thing you know, it'll be like San Francisco and they'll be pooping in the streets too. They have the worst crime rate. Now listen to this. South Africa has the worst crime rate in all of Africa. That's kind of a crime-ridden continent. Six of the top 10 most dangerous cities in Africa, six out of the 10 most dangerous, are in South Africa. 55 people are murdered every day. That makes Chicago look like a picnic. 18,000 attempted murders were recorded last year alone. 40,000 rapes were reported. On average, there were 430 assault cases every day. This is a country under siege by crime. Now, do I think that some of the farm attacks over the past few years are racially or politically motivated? Of course I do. We saw that from the numbers back in 2001. But with their crime rate, the vast majority probably are not. So here's what you have to know. Ignoring this story, as the press has done, has only made conspiracies grow. Sunlight is the best disinfectant. It has helped a fringe group take a real issue, violent attacks on farmers and the seizing of their land, and the socialists now in the street saying slit the throat of whiteness, and turn that story to fit a more grim narrative. Second, it has enabled the group of Marxists to successfully use their populism to convince their people that seizing property and the redistribution of land will do anything but spell disaster. Mark my words. Beginning the day of the change of the Constitution, within 10 years, South Africa will starve. But the facts do not support the narrative of a white genocide, at least at this point. They are watering those seeds with the rhetoric that is coming from the highest levels of their government. It could turn to that. So we should be constantly vigilant on what is happening. But that doesn't mean that the atrocities are happening. I think they are happening on these farms to white farmers. At least some of them are very likely racially motivated. But this is the same trend that has been going on for nearly 20 years, And it's been much worse than this recently. The difference now is that you have to add in the fact that Marxists are overrunning the country. And you don't have to be alt-right or alt-light to recognize and be concerned about Marxist governments confiscating people's land and property. Credit President Trump for putting a spotlight on it. Do not, please. Mainstream media, please, please do not use this as another way to drive a wedge between us. Recognize how people can see this as something that is going to lead to genocide. Please see that because your lack of reporting and, quite honestly, your lack of credibility when you do report, nobody's going to believe you. And you're only going to make it worse. And on the left, I'm sorry, on the right, please, please look at the facts. Do not jump to the conclusion of genocide. We're all going to regret this time. I said to somebody off the air yesterday who was a historian, we are going to be viewed as crazy animals, just crazy animals for the way we're behaving. It's all understandable, but it's not going to wear well. There's time for South Africa to reverse its course. If it doesn't, we have to remain vigilant because things could get really bad there. Need to talk to you about our sponsor this half hour. It's Car Shield. If you've ever had to take your car in for an oil change and the mechanic finds something wrong, surprise, surprise, you're hit with a repair bill that you didn't expect. It's happened to all of us. And when it comes to extended vehicle protection, do what I do. I have a warranty, or not a warranty, extended protection. There's some legal reason I can't call it a warranty. But I have extended protection from Car Shield. So you don't have to worry about any of this stuff. If your car breaks down after your manufacturer's warranty expires, you could be out of pocket thousands of dollars. I went in for, I think it was an oil change. It was nothing big. I was called and they said, you need $6,000 of repairs on your car because of these sensors and everything else. What? They said, don't worry, we checked with Car Shield and it's all covered. Huh, okay. Whew, okay, I'll be in to pay for the oil change. I want you to call Car Shield right now before this happens to you. Call 800-CAR-6100, 800-CAR-6100. Use the promo code Beck, carshield.com, 800-CAR-6100, promo code Beck.
That's an interesting summary of that story. And I, you know, you had kind of mentioned this to me, I think, off the air earlier, that it's fair to say on the horizon are really dark storm clouds.
Yeah, it's like we're seeing sparks next to a California forest. Mm-hmm. That's bad.
Really bad. And really serious. Taking it really seriously.
It could ignite a forest fire, but it hasn't yet. Watch it.
Right. And there's been some signs of this. You know, I know a lot of these, and you looked at all this data, Jason. There's a lot of these were robberies. What was the percentage? Something like 15%, I think, yeah. were...
So it's important racial. To point out that Jason did the research on this. And Jason, you and I both believed that white genocide was probably happening, right?
I was fully on board.
Yeah,
I was convinced, because when you read those stories, you're just appalled. You can't imagine that this is anything but having to do with something political or racial.
Right.
And maybe some of those stories actually probably are racial and political. But you can't look at that in a vacuum. You've got to look at it, you know, the full story with all the facts and figures, multiple different sources. And if you
we've changed our opinion on this only after we did our research. We were fully on board. In theory, we needed to see the research. Once we saw it, it's
Beck.
Not that
Mercury.
Yet. I want to spend just a few more minutes on the South Africa story. South Africa is a very different place, and if you've ever been there, you know. It is an incredibly beautiful, beautiful place. And it is great wealth next to devastating poverty. Poverty that you can't even imagine in America. Anybody who says they're poor in America, let me take you to South Africa. I'll show you what poor is. The poor people there do not have flat screen televisions. In fact, they don't have any televisions. In fact, they don't have a house. They have just like a, you know, cardboard house or a kind of a shanty town, corrugated metal houses. It's horrible. Absolutely horrible. Mm. Anyway, it's a different place. And it has gone through so much that it is easy to see how a group of poor, really poor people with poor leadership could turn on the, what is it, 8% white population, something like that?
I believe there's only 4.4 million. So yeah, it's very low.
Very low. And if you start to have people in any country start to point to one group and say they're the problem, you can do that to anybody. Doesn't matter which color, what creed, it doesn't matter. It just doesn't matter. If people are starving and they're led by somebody who says it's them, you can have genocide. So you have all of the conditions for genocide of any group. So we looked at this and found it to be credible in theory that there would be some sort of uprising against whites, especially when they're trying to pass a change in the Constitution to take away the land from those people, because those people stole your land. That kind of stuff leads to violence. We went in thinking that the media was hiding this. As it turns out, the facts show, no, it's not that yet. It's really not that. Now, some of it may be, but it's not a genocide. And it's most likely these things are caused by robberies. Some of it, in the past, it's been about 15%. At its height in 2001, it was about 15%. We don't know the numbers now because police stopped looking at motives. How crazy is that? That's also another reason why you go, well, see, I mean, they know. Why aren't they tracking that anymore? They've always tracked motive. Now they're not tracking. What are they covering? So Jason went in. He's our chief researcher and foreign affairs guy, and he believed, and I can't say we believed this to be true. We thought we would find, yes, this is happening, but we didn't report on it because we weren't comfortable, because we couldn't find facts that we felt comfortable with. It was one of those things that usually Stu is the one that says, wait, slow down. Let me look at the statistics, because Stu is the statistics guy.
Yeah, and it's important, you know, to make sure, mm-hmm. especially with an accusation as serious as, you know,
white
wiping
genocide.
Out a race.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you want to make sure that you have the facts all buttoned up.
Right.
And some of the sources were weird, and you know, there's a central, as you noted in the monologue, there's a central activist group That is the source for almost every single one of these claims.
And it's not a necessarily bad group.
No, no.
It's a union, right, that is representing the white farmers.
They're an activist group. They've been lobbying all over the world, really ramping it up lately. They were on Fox News, I think, a couple of times.
Australian media.
They actually invited Australian media over to, you know, show everything that they're going through. And, yeah, it's just everywhere. And coincidentally, some of these reports that you see that are a little bit more harsher, they kind of go more along the alt-ish narrative, are coming from Australia, which is no surprise. But it's crazy that every time we looked into this, and like you said, it's been going on for, we've been doing this for months. Every time we did, I would run across people saying, oh, there's these stats from these years, there's an increase here. This, it looks like this is happening. They always led back to that one group every single time.
So this is why, you know, we were asked to go to, and we didn't think about it at all. Except we thought it would be fun to get the information and then come back and tell you the truth. But we realized we would have to sell our soul. Syria asked us to come in and wanted me to do an interview with Assad. And, you know, and they, it's all paid for.
It's a trap. It's a trap.
It's a trap. It was so clear that it was a trap. And we're not, I'm not going to sell my soul for that. That's why journalists do not go at the invitation of a group and have them pay for things, because they're going to show you their side of the story.
Yeah. And I think that the main thing to take here is that there is something really serious going on. The idea that they're passing in the Constitution an ability to take land from farmers who own it and redistribute it to other people is really bad. And it is the language being used is really bad. And it should warn you, as you kind of, we were talking about that, of the idea of, you know, the dark storm clouds, and it's raining here a little bit where we can see the storm in the distance. The worst winds are in the distance, but it's raining on our heads. Mm-hmm. There's stuff going on right now that is real and is really something to be concerned about. But I mean, this is why I love this audience. I don't know if they're, you know, I feel like this audience is a dying breed in the United States of America at this point.
I hope not. That doesn't sound very positive.
Oh, yeah. We're all screwed,
hey,
guys.
Send me on vacation with that thought. Oh, yeah? Well, let me tell you about the coming global war.
But it's like,
the economic collapse is on the horizon.
This audience has continually shown a hunger to find information, even when it challenges what they might previously believe. And that is something that I think is incredibly rare in our society today. People who are like, you know what? I want to know the truth rather than the thing I want to be true.
No, we should be broadcasting from a museum. We really should. This is so rare. We should be in a museum.
We should, and the whole audience can pack in there with
us. That's right.
And
we'll all be in a little cube, and people can come and look at us, and they're like, oh, wow, that's the way people in America used to think and solve things, huh? Wow.
I think it's important, and it's important not to downplay it, because, I mean, if this were to, you know, in a way, South Africa's previous constitution, which basically said the government has a right to buy this land, however, it's optional for the farmer whether they want to sell it, is actually better on eminent domain than ours is.
Yeah.
I mean, you can really make the situation, you know, because here you get forced into selling it sometimes. There, they're saying, okay, well, they can buy it, but you have to choose. They've gone so far now where you can't refuse and you don't even get compensated. That is a massive change, and something that is, you know, really a foreshadow of what could come. I mean, a lot of the things you've talked about over the years, Glenn, have been, hey, here's a warning sign. Here's a warning sign. Here's them in their own words. Here's what they're saying they want to do. Shouldn't we take them seriously? I feel like that's where we're at with this story.
Yeah.
It's starting to happen in bits and pieces. It's scary. But, you know, in some measures, the violence is down. That doesn't excuse what the government is doing and what they're foreshadowing.
This story really is a case study on how people can latch on to a narrative. And if you don't look into it, you can fall victim to fake news. You can fall victim to being addicted to outrage. Pre-order right now comes out on
September 18th.
September 18th. Oh, yeah.
But you can pre-order that right now.
But it really is a case study on why you need to look into these things for yourself. Like you said, like, I was pretty much convinced when I saw these stories what was going on. But then we said, well, the only way we're going to figure this out is if we actually reach out and call some of these people. Now, I won't say who it is, but we started reaching out to multiple different farm owners in South Africa. And one of the very first ones that I talked to He was like, well, he goes, well, yeah, they want me to sell my property, but it's not for redistribution. They want it for some other like industry. And I was like, oh, okay, but you're in danger, right? I was like, you know, you're scared for your life because you're getting targeted because you're white. And he's like, no. And I was like, well, can you expand, please? Like, yeah. And he's like, well, I was like, have you heard? Maybe not you, but your friends.
Your friends, right?
Right.
All the other white people.
I'm like pushing this story, you know, like I'm falling into that trap. And then he's like, no. He goes, actually, I don't know anybody around me that's having those issues.
Now, so here's the difference. Many journalists, they know what the story is before they ever set out.
Yeah.
And they go to proof that story. You went out and you thought that was the story and you started asking questions. The minute he asked that guy those questions, he was in my office going, okay, Glenn, wait a minute. I've got one source, a pretty credible source, big source that you could barely understand. But I understood him enough to say, this not maybe not happening.
And one source isn't enough. So you went and you looked at the data. You went and you talked to other farmers. We've contacted, you know, what, a dozen farmers at least in South Africa, some of which have been used in previous reporting. And we have not seen, we've seen, there are attacks there.
Yeah,
we've
talked and there are some that are racially motivated.
It's not a nothing, right? Like, the idea that 15% of these attacks are racially motivated, and that's an old number, but I mean we don't know what it is at this moment, but 15% is really freaking high. If you look at the United States, it's nowhere near 15% of attacks are racially motivated. It's not even close to that. So you have to go back and realize that this is a society that has been torn at the shreds for, you know, a century almost. This is a society that is, you think we have it bad when it comes to divisiveness. Think of the situation that has happened in that country over the past few decades. You know, apartheid and everything else. This has been a contentious society. We talk about this with Finland and Norway, and they've had almost none of that internally because of their sort of monolithic population. There's no cultural disagreement. There's no cultural strife.
Until now.
And now it's starting to creep in. But South Africa has this, you know, times a thousand. Most, the overwhelming majority of the country thinks the minority of the country abuse them, and a lot, they have a lot of evidence behind that. I mean, the government certainly did. I mean, yeah. But not, you know, look, a farmer in the middle of nowhere may not have done anything negative to Africa.
In fact, we know a big farmer in South Africa that did the exact opposite. He was instrumental in the release of Nelson Mandela. Mm-hmm. I mean, so we know a lot of white people there that were instrumental in getting that done.
And that's why there's an argument that some have made that, you know, look, there is a, this is, apartheid was really recent. You know, 8% of the population, whites own 72% of the land or whatever it is. You know, there should be some repercussions because some of this land was stolen in those eras. It's like, well, it's one thing if you can prove a specific crime was committed. Then you can take, you might be able to take land and return it to the initial owner. But you can't just go walking around because they happen to be white and take their stuff.
So let me just end it with this. If you are looking for someone to feed your outrage blindly, this is not the show for you.
You get that from a mirror. You can look in the mirror and convince yourself of that stuff every day.
You get that really pretty much anywhere. We are not the show that is going to do that. We will find the truth as we can, to the best of our ability. We ask you to check those facts and decide for yourself. But we cannot continue to feed. I will not be the bartender where somebody who is addicted and say, here, wait, just one more glass. Just one more. Have one for the road. I won't do it because it's wrong. If you want to be a part of the solution, that's where we're going to really try hard to do. And it's amazing. We'll do these things. We'll take on our own side. We'll take on things like the alt-right. The media should celebrate. The media should be doing what we're doing right now. The media should celebrate. Look at that. Look at that. We will take the hits from the alt-right and the left. and no one else will notice. We don't care. We care about you. I'm not doing a show for people who don't like us or don't listen to us. I'm doing the show for you. We got this letter in from a listener of ours who used Mercury Real Estate to sell their house and buy a new one. I just want to read it to you. It's just such a great letter. Glenn, we used not one, but two of your agents, and I have to say they lived up to the expectation. People hold us to a really high standard, and I'm really glad to hear this. I'm glad to hear this. We get letters like this all the time. Glenn, first we found Skip through realestateagentsitrust.com. He helped us buy a house in Mobile, Alabama. He got to know us through emails and from the phone. He set aside an entire weekend in Mobile when my husband and I went to look for houses. We ended up buying a house that we hadn't even seen online, and we were only able to see it this one time because we had to go back to Kansas. So we had to do the whole transaction now long distance. Skip knew exactly how to word everything in the contracts. Nothing slipped by him. Incredible. And we were stress-free. Most competent realtor we have ever met. We wondered if he had a magic wand of sorts, because in the past we've had bad experience after bad experience. Not only did he find our dream house, but then we hired another guy through real estate agents, itrust.com, and we bought our house from another guy who was great, Kirk in Kansas, Wichita. If you're looking for the right agent, realestateagentsitrust.com, realestateagentsitrust.com. Holy cow, is this a good week to listen to Bill O'Reilly?
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to hearing him dissect the stuff from the week with Trump and Cohen and Manafort and all of that.
Oh my gosh. Possible pardons, the way the news media
the
has
Me Too
reacted,
stuff from
the
this
Me
week.
Too.
It should be interesting.
Woo, this is going to be a good week. Bill O'Reilly is coming up next.
Glenn Beck.
It's Friday, August 24th. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
I have been waiting with bated breath to talk to Bill O'Reilly to get his view on all that has happened this week. Bill, don't disappoint. Where would you like to start?
I'd like to start with me just taking over the whole program.
Well, that would be nice. Yeah. That would be nice.
You and Stu can go out for donuts.
Wait a minute. And, if you're serious, I'll make that deal right now.
Yeah, we can just spot you up and leave.
Your listeners would want donuts too. They would hold it against me.
Yeah.
No, you start wherever you want, Beck. I mean, I just wrote a column of the day for BillO'Reilly.com on our pal Geraldo.
Oh, my gosh.
Insisting that the Molly Tibbetts story is just about a murder, has nothing to do with illegal.
Right.
Immigration.
So I want to get to that. Let's save that. I want to get all to right. that because I saw something on CNN that I just sent to you. Did you watch it?
I saw.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Oh my gosh. Okay. So let's start with Cohen and Manafort.
Okay.
All right. What do you think?
So Manafort really didn't have much to do with the country as it stands now, unless he will start to accuse the president of something. So if it's a standalone and he did what he did, obviously, he deserves to go to prison. And we sing him the steam song, sha-na-na-na, hey, 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 goodbye. All right? So that's all.
Okay, wait. Yeah. Trump, he won't. Apparently will not rule out pardoning him.
Yeah,
that would, I think that would be a gigantic mistake.
So do I. Okay. And it's amazing I'm agreeing with you, but I don't think that a man who cheats on his taxes at that level deserves a pardon. It's as simple as that. So but the Manafort thing, we're not going to really have much to talk about until he does go to prison or he does not.
Yeah.
The Cohen thing is much more interesting and much more.
It's connected to the president. It is connected, at least that one.
Yeah,
Manafort has what he was accused of. What he did was years before Trump. There's no connection. Bad guy goes to jail. End of story.
Yeah. But the only problem with the Cohen story is Robert Mueller and the U.S. Justice Department. That's what concerns me, not what Michael Cohen may or may not have done as far as silencing women who had affairs with Donald Trump. That doesn't seem to be a major situation to me. But it is clear that the U.S. Justice Department, under Attorney General Jeff Sessions, clear that they are allowing plea bargains to crimes in order to get their boss, President Trump. He's the boss of the Justice Department, all right? Sessions answers to him. So he's got a department that's basically saying, hey, we want to get you. We're going to do all this kind of stuff. And I say that because the campaign finance violations that Cohen is going to plead guilty to are BS. All right, it's crap. Nobody would be indicted on those things. Nobody would be charged with those things unless there is a check directly from the Trump for President campaign in the hands of one of these women. And we haven't seen any evidence of that at all. And Trump denies it, that he used campaign funds. So I don't understand why this is even taking place, why Michael Cohen was even charged with this.
This is the point that Alan Dershowitz is making. He's like, show me the crime. He said, just point it out in the book and I'll shut up. But there's no crime on the books.
Not yet.
Well, he pled guilty to a crime, right? So he pled guilty to something. And he also pled guilty to tax. It was also tax issues, though, too. It wasn't just campaign
finance. But that's aside, though.
Yes, it is.
The tax issues had nothing to do with Trump.
Right.
That's taxi medallion stuff in New York City. This is the only link to Cohen to Trump is paying off the women. And where did the money come from? If the money came from private funds, there's no crime. So why is this even happening?
So, Bill, if we find out, because they're saying they have additional evidence, including messages, but they're not clear about what it is yet. We don't know what the additional evidence is. If it comes out that the money came from the Trump campaign routed through the Trump organization, would you say that that is a really serious issue?
Yes, of course. Yes, that would elevate it. But it doesn't make sense to indict somebody on a campaign finance charge and not put out that the reason we're indicting him is because it came from campaign money. Does that make any sense to anybody? Why would you hold that back?
Right. And Bill, one more thing on this before we move on from this particular topic. Do you think that we as the media and us included in all of this are focusing too much on Trump as it relates to this investigation? We all know that that's what they're after. But in reality, Mueller really did something wrong. Cohen, seemingly, at least on the tax side, really did something wrong. And, the fact that a couple of high-ranking executives in this organization are going to prison is a significant development, even if it has nothing to do with Donald Trump.
Well, you said Mueller. You meant Manafort.
Manafort, sorry.
Look, the story doesn't have any importance to anybody unless the president's involved. All right, Manafort trying to get away with hiding money. Nobody cares about that. I'm glad the authorities got him. Cohen doing some sleazy thing with New York City taxi cabs and again, trying to hide money from the authorities. Good, he deserves to go to prison. You can't do that. However, once you get into a position where you're trying desperately, you're using the weight of the entire Justice Department paid for by the U.S. taxpayer, desperately trying to find something, anything, on a sitting president of the United States is disturbing, is it not?
It is, and the pressure that they're using is problematic, not just in this particular case, but throughout the justice system.
If you had an honest media in this country, the media would actually be defending Trump. The media would be saying, this isn't good for the country, and the Justice Department is going on this wild goose chase to try to get the president. Mueller has been 18 months and still hasn't produced one shred of evidence of Russian collusion. This is wrong. It's hurting all Americans. Put up or shut up. That's what an honest press would do. Instead, the national media is a lynch mob encouraging the expedition to bring down the president. So that's how screwed up our entire country is at this point.
Well, we would. What's frustrating is you say an honest media, but let's be completely honest. It's not just the media. If this was happening, if Hillary Clinton would have won, And the situation was the same. She paid hush money to, you know, a bunch of women to keep them quiet a couple of weeks before the election, you know, for Bill Clinton, or maybe she was having an affair. I don't know. If it was the same story, we would all be up in arms and we would be demanding impeachment. And the media would be saying the exact opposite of what they're saying now. That's the problem.
I wouldn't be demanding impeachment.
I mean the general right, the general Fox News would be.
The Hillary haters would be, you know, trying to put a noose around her neck. And this is what's wrong. I mean, I was talking to somebody last night, and they were lamenting they have nowhere to go on television to find out the news. They can't find out the news.
Nope.
Because whatever you tune in, that agency is going to either be trying to get Trump off or trying to put him in prison. And there's no in between. So any fact that may emerge isn't looked upon as a fact. It's, well, can we use it for or against him? And I mean, again, that puts the country in dire trouble when its citizens can't get really what's happening. And that's what I'm trying to do on BillO'Reilly.com. I think you're trying to do it on the radio and on the Blaze. But it's rare, and it's getting very, very intense.
We just did an hour on the truth of what's happening in South Africa. And the truth is nothing really is happening yet. The seeds are there. The people are fanning the flames of it. But what's happening in South Africa now is there is an upswing with murder, but the upswing of violent crime all across the country, even, you know, black on black, you know, whites on whites, is through the roof, through the roof.
I did it yesterday, so I'm glad you took from my thing.
That's why we subscribe, so we can do some research and then bring it to the radio.
BillO'Reilly.com yesterday. Again, Trump doesn't take the time to research the situation and tweets out something that's half true, but half of it isn't true. The one thing that you overlooked in your analysis that you just told me is that in South Africa, it is clear that the government in place wants to take land. I mean, take it.
We covered that.
Yeah, we did.
Who are a certain color?
Yeah, mm-hmm.
White.
Right.
All right, and that has happened.
That's why I say they're planting the seeds and they are watering those seeds. I mean, the new president of South Africa is clearly racist.
He believes that white people. He wants white people to leave the country, which they will. And he wants to steal their land. And Zimbabwe did the same thing. And look what happened to Zimbabwe. But in the process, if you've been to South Africa, and I have, you know that it is a country where many people live in rural areas that don't have any protection at all. No police protection, all right? And these murders of white farmers are happening at an increased rate because the criminals know they will not even be hunted. That they can go in and kill anybody they want and no one will look for them. And that story is explosive, but Americans don't care about what happens in South Africa.
So what I've seen is this really dangerous scenario of the president tweeting something, which what he tweeted was, hey, I've asked the Secretary of State to look into this.
Look into it.
Okay,
right.
You probably shouldn't say that. You should probably just go to his office and say, hey, I want you to look into this. And then tweet what you find. But what happened was he didn't tweet anything crazy. He said, hey, I want to look into this.
No, but he said it was happening. That was the problem.
Okay.
It hasn't been passed by the government.
You're right. So immediately the press, instead of taking a measured tone and saying, you know, this is going around and, you know,
he's a racist.
Yeah, he's a racist.
And he's a racist for even bringing it up.
Right.
Yeah, of course.
And which only pushes people to believe. I mean, this is the worst case scenario on this. And I think it's going to play out this way if we don't back up and stop this nonsense. What's going to happen is, because Donald Trump tweeted this and the press said, well, he's a crazy racist, when the Secretary of State comes back and says, no, that's not actually happening, the people have already chosen a side. You're either with Trump or you're with CNN. And if the Secretary of State comes back and says, no, here are the facts, they're going to blame it on the deep state. So, I mean, it just gets worse.
I don't even think that people are going to even pay attention to what's happening in South Africa. I think that basically many Americans, perhaps most, have tuned out of the whole thing now. Fox News ratings this week collapsed. You would think that with all of the stories involved and all of the intensity, that Fox News's ratings would be through the roof. That did not happen. They lost audience. And who gained? MSNBC gained, because all the Trump haters who want him out came in. They knew they weren't going to hear anything but, yeah, let's get him out, let's get him out. So they came into MSNBC. So, but the people who don't have any ideological craziness, they just didn't watch. They just said, you know, I've had enough. I know I can't get the right story, so I'll go to a subscription service like BillO'Reilly.com, or I'll go to The Blaze, and I'll try to get what I can get out of there. But I know I'm not going to be served by the national press agencies. I mean, how sad is this?
It's depressing.
That's what's happening.
Bill, one quick question before we go to break. Do you think this Cohen Manafort, this whole thing that's happened over the past week, is that going to have an immediate effect on Trump's approval rating either way?
I don't know about approval rating, but it will have an effect on the midterms unless Donald Trump regains momentum. So Donald Trump now is on the defensive. All right. I think that his crew is going to stay with him, and there are enough people that feel this is BS that they may approve of his job. So he might stay in the high 40s. But the momentum is clearly against Republicans now. And if the president wants to hold the House, he's got to regain that momentum.
Okay.
And illegal immigration is probably the way he's going
to
do it.
Okay. I want to talk to you about illegal immigration. I want to talk to you about impeachment if they do take the House, which sounds like you think that there is an increasing chance that that is absolutely going to happen. We'll talk to Bill O'Reilly, get his opinions on those things when we come back. Simply Safe Home Security is our sponsor this half hour. Great home security, fantastic protection, really easy to use. This company started with us. There were five people. And now they're a $1 billion company.
Incredible.
And we're just thrilled for them.
Awesome.
Because they make this is the simplest product. It is the best product, and it is at a fair, reasonable price. And when it comes to saving you money, you save a ton of money. There's no contracts. You own the system. It's wireless. It's state-of-the-art technology. When you compare what you're paying now to what you will pay for this security one time, and then your monitoring is without a contract, no strings, no wires, it'll blow your mind. It's why this company has grown so fast. They're really great. Simply Safe. You're going to save 10% now off your system if you go to simplysafebeck.com. Special address, simplysafebeck.com. Go there now. Order your system. Free yourself. And keep your family simply safe. simplysafebeck.com.
Glenn Beck.
Bill O'Reilly, what do you make of David Pecker from the National Enquirer getting immunity yesterday to speak to prosecutors? He apparently told prosecutors that of his knowledge of the payments to women. Also, sources said that Pecker provided investigators with the details about the payments Cohen made to the women.
Sources said, Beck.
I know.
Sources said. In order for the federal government to charge an American citizen with a crime, they've got to have enough evidence, all right, to go to a court and present a viable case, or they will be charged with malicious prosecution.
Sure.
So, if Cohen, when they raided his office, if they found evidence that he paid these women off, they had to corroborate that.
Right.
Therefore, there's only one person who could corroborate it.
Right.
That was Pecker. Okay?
But there still is no crime here unless it came from...
Don't get ahead of yourself.
All right.
All right. So the FBI goes in there and they sit around their little table and they go, you know, look, for whatever reason, we want to get Michael Cohen on campaign finance violations, but we can't do it with what we have from his office. We got to get somebody else to corroborate what he did. Who's the only person on earth that Michael Cohen did business with outside of Stormy Daniels' attorney?
Yeah, National Enquirer.
David Pecker. So they waltz into Pecker's office and they say, look, if you want to make it easy on yourself, you've got to tell us what happened and we'll give you immunity because we got to back up our stuff that Cohen did something wrong in campaign finance. So the Pecker said, oh, yeah, okay, you know, give me immunity. I'll tell you whatever you want to know. Now, that doesn't mean that
he has anything.
Yeah, doesn't mean that Pecker knew anything about campaign finance. All he knew is that Michael Cohen paid him.
Right.
That's all he knew. He might have known more. Maybe there was a big blaze on the check that said, this is from Donald Trump's campaign finance.
Right.
Maybe.
Well,
maybe
there is. There is.
The face of the check.
There,
I doubt it.
There is some evidence of a transfer of funds from the campaign in around that amount, and we're not sure if it's connected or not. But all I'm driving towards is this if that exists, that proof.
Yes.
This is the same thing of Watergate, because Watergate, that break-in, was financed by the committee to reelect the president.
That's right.
That's what
if they can prove that Trump knew campaign finance money was used to hush the women, then he's through.
Back in just a minute with Bill O'Reilly.
You're listening to the Glenn Beck Program.
Joined by BillO'Reilly.com. All right, Bill. I know we're working on if, but one thing I've gotten a lot of feedback on this week, or questions from audience members, is if he is impeached and removed from office, and, you know, if these things do come that they have evidence that he was using campaign finance or campaign funds, then it is Watergate. So there's a precedence on this. What does that do to the country? Does his, you know, any number of his followers, do they just let this happen, or do they cry injustice and not let it go? Does Donald Trump do what Nixon did and resign, or does he go through the whole trial?
Well, first of all, it'd have to be very vivid proof. And to me, that would be, I know Trump pretty well. I mean, I don't think he makes mistakes like that, but let's just, for the sake of argument, say that he did, allow campaign finance money to pay these women off.
You probably remember the Nixon thing better than I do. I don't remember Nixon necessarily. It was the missing, you know, 19 minutes or 18 minutes. It wasn't
the same thing, though, because Nixon didn't direct the stuff in the Watergate break-in. What Nixon got impeached for, or was going to get impeached for, was covering it up and lying about it after the fact. This would be Trump actually directing. This would have to be that. Pay the women with campaign funds. I just can't imagine he would do that.
Right, but if the organization did that, what makes that different than Nixon?
If he didn't have anything to do with it and he didn't know about it.
But wait, neither did Richard Nixon, you just told me.
But once Nixon was informed about it, he did not tell the truth to the investigators. He didn't tell the truth about it. He lied and covered it up. and ordered hush money payments to people who knew the truth. So it's a different thing. They caught Nixon for basically lying after the fact. This charge is that Trump directed the money to these women, who, by the way, if you read my column this week, are basically extortionists, these two women. I mean, you know, it's amazing what they did, and now they're heroes at CNN. But let's get back to Trump. So it would have to be very vivid, almost in a memo form. Yeah, Donald Trump ordered money taken out of his campaign fund bank account and given to these women. Now, if that is shown, his support will dissipate. There won't be very many people saying, well, it's okay.
But if it's proof for reasonable, beyond reasonable doubt, mm-hmm. it's never going to be that clear cut.
If it isn't that clear cut and they're relying on Michael Cohen and a National Enquirer guy, then Trump's got a fighting chance. Remember, Bill Clinton lied about his dalliance in the Oval Office with an intern. That's pretty bad, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and he wasn't even close to being convicted in the Senate for impeachment. I mean, they got 50 votes and they needed 66. It wasn't close. So the politician said, yeah, all right, he did it, but it's not that bad. If there isn't a smoking gun and it's he said, she said, that's the same thing that's going to happen. The House can bring articles, but the Senate, you're never going to get 66 votes in the Senate to throw them out.
Any doubt in your mind, no matter what the evidence is, if the Democrats take control of the House, they impeach him?
You know, it's a risk, because if they impeach him on nothing, then they're almost guaranteeing his reelection in 2020. I mean, people aren't stupid. They're being lied to by the press. But as I said, they're walking away from the lies. They're not stupid. I mean, and Trump's got a machine that can get it out there that this is ridiculous.
Okay.
So if the Democrats impeach on nothing, they'll lose the presidential election next one.
All right. Let me change topics. I want to play this audio, and I don't want the audience's head to explode. And this will make you crawl out of your skin. This is Chris Cuomo talking to Kellyanne Conway. And he's accusing her of using one person's death to raise a flag and say, if you're not with us, then you don't care. And I want you to count the number of hypocritical statements that Chris Cuomo is going to make. It is the most unaware of his own.
There's a huge lack of self-awareness going on in this particular clip.
I've never seen anything like it. Listen to the clip.
There was wall-to-wall coverage about a missing woman in Iowa until she was found, and God rest her soul.
Let's count.
And then you don't even have the decency.
You're not letting her soul rest.
Oh, yes,
you're waving her like a flag.
No, I would never.
We're hijacking her grief.
How dare you?
If you're not with us about immigrants, then you don't care about Molly Tibbetts. How dare you? And how dare the president?
I count that as
just like Kate Steinle. So if you don't want to abuse immigrants the way the president does, if you don't want to assume they're all murders the way the president wants people to believe, then you don't care about Kate Steinle and Molly Tibbetts.
He has never said that. You don't care about the ones who have been murdered to say this is how it happened. This is how we can all
over 17,000 murders in this country in 2016. How many times has he stood up and said this is an atrocity what happened?
Many times.
Only when the people who kill them are someone that he wants to target.
That's not true.
That would be for Talk to Me About Chicago.
CNN covered 55 minutes of a live meeting in the cabinet room in late January where he was flanked by Democrats and Republicans from the House and the Senate to talk about DACA, the Dreamers. Where did they go? Why aren't they there? Why, when the Democrats talk about immigration,
Schumer told me, wrong. And he denied it.
Why, when they talk about immigration,
there's
Christopher,
the
do they only think of the Dreamers? Why?
There's the truth.
Why
oh, here
don't
we
they
go.
Respect?
Here we go.
Now listen to this.
Really
here's
a nice us-them thing. No, are we back to the former South Africa, the real racism problem?
There's
yes or no?
Six.
Do you think that's a good idea to have immigration?
It's not my job to make policy decisions.
You know
it is my job to test them. And
last
I'll tell you what I think is wrong.
They interdicted enough fence
care about Molly Tibbetts and calling her permanently separated from her family. Is that how you describe someone when they're murdered?
I just said, God rest her soul, and I didn't say her name.
He said she was permanently separated from her family. Is that the time to play ugly politics because he's upset about what happened with him putting kids in cages?
But why can't permanently separated? Why can't you say what happened? Why can't you say there are cracks in the system?
I did two segments on it yesterday. Of course there are cracks in the system. Of course her murder, but for that man being here illegally, wouldn't have happened.
Do you think we should get a vote on Kate's Law? Do you think the grief of Laura...
I think that you should do whatever you can to stop illegal immigration, but you don't have to treat the immigrants like crap to do that.
No.
Nine. I counted nine hypocritical statements in that. Bill, your comment.
All right. You know, first of all, it's impossible to even listen to them because they're just talking over each other, and that's ridiculous. And, you know, he doesn't know how to control the interview. But he said something very interesting in the last 30 seconds. He said, of course you should do whatever you can to mitigate the illegal immigration problem. Okay, not him, you. Now, Kellyanne Conway is a guest, not a host. But if it were me debating Chris Cuomo, I would have stopped it right there and go, okay, you want to make the illegal immigration situation a little bit more protective for the American citizens, right? And of course, he'd have to say yes. I said, how do you want to do that? And then because Chris Cuomo opposes every single way to provide more protection for people like Molly Tibbetts. Now, you counted up his hypocritical things, they go flying out the window. He doesn't want a wall. He doesn't want ICE agents raiding work sites. He doesn't want sanctions against sanctuary cities that protect criminal illegal aliens. This is Chris Cuomo. Okay, you don't want any of that. So you want hypocrisy. There you go. He says to his audience, yeah, you should do whatever you can to improve the illegal immigration problem. But he opposes every single thing that has been proposed to do that. I wipe him off the face of the earth. CNN, of course, wouldn't care because they don't, you know, it's not a matter of efficiency there. It's a matter of ideology. So that's pretty much what it is, you know, and they talk over each other. And I, of course, then watch the Jet game or whatever else.
I think everybody did. I'm going to give you that extra point. That makes 10 hypocritical statements then.
Yeah, but that's the big one.
Yeah.
That crushes Chris Cuomo.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct. Bill, I'm going on vacation for a week.
You are? Another one?
Yeah. What do you mean another one?
I mean, you were just off July 4th for like 18 days. I saw you wandering around Utah. Somewhere.
I'm 20 years into working for this company. I get more than 2 weeks a year.
You know, I applaud you for it. Where are you going? Going someplace fun?
I am. Taking the kids up into the mountains.
The mountains.
Yes.
Now, is there any destination or you just wander?
No, we just wander. We're looking. Yeah. I'm actually looking. We're going to build an altar, my wife and I. I'm going to have the kids bring some sticks.
Is this the Utah Mountains, Colorado Mountains? Where?
This is Idaho Mountains.
Idaho way.
Yeah.
Very
nice.
Very
nice.
Good.
Very nice.
Now, in reality, though, you're in a luxury hotel in Ketchum, right?
I'm going to L.A. and just hanging out with,
Bel Air Hotel. Get that duck out of my room.
All right, Bill. Good talking to you, brother.
Okay. Thanks for having me on.
Talk to you next week. You bet.
You can pre-order Bill's new book, Killing the SS, which is coming out now October, I believe. Lot of people, every time you go to the page for your book, Addicted to Outrage, you see what people are buying together, and it's Addicted to Outrage and Killing the SS.
Yeah.
So those are both coming out in the next. There's a lot of reading to do coming out soon.
And they're both really, really good. Go and buy his book and buy mine as well, because they both are very, very different, but well worth the read. His is really good, and I'm very proud of ours. All right, I want to talk to you a little bit about Bitcoin. Bitcoin was down 2017 in the summer. It was down 40%. Bitcoin and cryptocurrency expert Tika Tiwari from Palm Beach Letter came out with an announcement. So there are going to be enormous amounts of money going into Bitcoin. At the time, it was 40% down, and it was trading at $1,800 a coin. He said, no, don't worry about this downspell. It's going to go up to 10,000 plus. Well, we know that it went up to 20,000. We were in the middle of a horrific bear market, but by the end of the year, Bitcoin hit 20,000. He just announced that he thinks Bitcoin will go 10x by the end of the year. I think that's crazy. I think it's going to have a really good year. I think that's crazy, but this is this guy's record. He always says crazy stuff, and then it happens because he backs it up with all kinds of evidence. If you want to find out that evidence, you can subscribe. But what I would like you to do is just first understand cryptocurrency. Before you invest, I think everybody should have $100 in Bitcoin. Everybody. But before you do anything, take the Smart Crypto course so you understand what it is, why it's important, what blockchain is, how that's going to change the world. Go to smartcryptocourse.com and take this course from Tika. Smartcryptocourse.com or call 877-PBL-BECK. 877-PBL-BECK. Smartcryptocourse.com.
Glenn Beck.
I am so glad you're here today. Thank you so much. I'm going to be gone next week, but Stu is going to be here. Pat's going to be here, and we'll continue to do some great stuff. When I come back shortly after vacation, we're going to start talking a lot about postmodernism, so you know what the cancer is in our country, and you understand it, and you know how to fight against it. It's based on my new book, Addicted to Outrage. And also, we are going to be starting in the fall a new podcast of interviews with just really, really fascinating people. Yesterday I did a 90-minute interview with somebody, commercial free, and just very different than anything you've ever seen me do. And it was, I think it was one of the best things I've done in, I don't know how long.
They're really powerful.
Yeah.
Really powerful. And I think it's going to, I think the audience is going to like it. It's a little bit different than what we do on the show on a daily basis. But of course, that will still continue. So,
yeah.
You know, it's just an extra thing.
Yeah. And these are ways for us. I get so frustrated when I interview people on the radio because we have to stop and chop it up. And then you don't necessarily get to the best stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, so this gives us a chance to have a full unedited, you know, sometimes 2 hours with somebody, and you can watch all of it, but then we'll take the highlights of that and we'll put it on the radio or TV as well, so you can get the clips, and then if you want to go back and watch the whole thing, they're really powerful. Really powerful. I've done a couple of them so far, one yesterday, and we have some great, great guests that are going to be a part of this. And we'll launch that sometime September, October. Okay.
We've got millions of dollars coming back, hundreds of millions of dollars coming back to states around the country. Why? Because there was a giant part of Obamacare that was unconstitutional. I haven't seen one media source report about this. Huge lawsuit where hundreds of millions of dollars. I know Texas is one of the states. They're returning $300 million in taxes back to Texas from the federal government because of Obamacare.
And Ken Paxton is the guy who did it, mm-hmm. led the way. And I think that's going to actually be a tax rebate here in Texas.
He said he wants to return it to the taxpayers, which
that's
is
amazing.
Which is great.
That's amazing. So we're going to talk to him coming up. Also, I want to give you a quick rundown on something I'll be dealing with when I get back. And that is an economic warning and war footing that I think we're preparing for.
Glenn Beck. Mercury. Glenn Beck.
The first rule of Feminist Fight Club. Let me say, of the Feminist Fight Club is, one, you must talk about the Feminist Fight Club. Okay, you see where this is going? Feminist Fight Club is somehow a real thing started in Colorado State University. Rule 2, you must talk about the Feminist Fight Club at CSU. Rule 3, we fight the patriarchy and all forms of harassment, bullying, inequality, discrimination, isms and other phobias, not each other. Okay, got it. They're here to fight the patriarchy. Rule number four, membership in the Feminist Fight Club means you've taken the oath to help and support all women and those who are historically marginalized groups. Rule number five, the FFC is inclusive and non-hierarchical. Everyone's an equal fighter. Stu, would you just check? Because I think that one contradicts rule number four. But I'm just...
I'll work on that.
Okay. Rule number six. The fight is not over until we have achieved gender equality for all people. Wait, I thought you were fighting the patriarchy. Rule number seven. No wallflowers. Everyone must fight. Now, this club is part of the university's Women and Gender Collaborative. It comes with a painfully kitschy handbook, which includes definitions of things like bropriation, the disproven idea that research shows that women are less likely to have ideas correctly attributed to them by both women and men. Let me ask you something. I don't care what you have in your pants. Have you ever had your idea credited to someone else or witnessed this happen? Right? All of us have. What did you do? What are you going to do next time? What will you do to get help with someone else to get the, when someone else gets the credit? Bropriation. There's also advice on how to stop a manterrupter, noting that, quote, research shows that women are twice as likely to be interrupted when they speak by both men and women, and more frequently if they're women of color. Practicing interrupting an interrupter on behalf of your fellow woman and vow in the group to call out this behavior the next time you see it. Something about this makes me doubt rule number six, that the fight is not over until we have achieved gender equality for all people. Postmodernism.
It's Friday, August 24th. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
I want to introduce you to Mr. Ken Paxton. He is, I think, the best attorney general in the country. This guy's got guts galore. He has taken the Obama administration and the government to court time and time again, and he keeps winning. We want to talk to him a little bit here about the Obamacare tax lawsuit win and what is coming back to the state of Texas so your state can do the same. Ken, how are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks for that nice introduction. I can tell you, Texas is not tired of winning.
It's amazing if you just stand your ground, how I can't say it's easy, but how often you can win.
Yeah, and this was such a no-brainer. This was obviously unconstitutional. Most states obviously didn't join us in this. We only had six states. But just from those six states, for just the 3 years, it was $839 million payback to the states. And had we had all the states or more, that number would have gone up. And that doesn't even count money going forward that they were going to take from us, because now we get to stop that from happening in the future.
Now, is that stopping only those six states?
Yes, it's not nationwide. We just asked for our money back, and we're getting it. And anybody could have joined our lawsuit. We opened it up. Anybody could have joined the lawsuit and been part of this and gotten their money. And we did all the work.
Before we get into exactly what the problem was and how this works, here are the states: Indiana, $94 million; Kansas, $142 million; Louisiana, $172 million; Wisconsin, $88 million; Nebraska, $36 million; and Texas, $305 million returned from the federal government to the states.
And it was taken by the federal government unconstitutionally. How?
So Congress delegated the authority to an agency, and then the agency delegated authority to a third party to define certain terms to make these contracts with Medicaid providers actuarially sound. Well, we argue that Congress can't delegate the authority to basically tax to a non-governmental entity, and that's what happened in this case. Mm. And that was a theory that the judge took. We also made arguments that Congress can't tax states, that we can't be forced to pay taxes to the federal government. That one wasn't the one that was decided on. It was the one the previous argument that we made.
But they did they dismiss that or did they rule against that?
Dismissed it, but on appeal, when the IRS has already appealed this, we're going to bring that argument back up because we still feel like it's a valid argument that we cannot be taxed as states.
So is there, can any state now, I mean, if people now see that this is happening, can other states, is it, have you paved the way so it's an open and shut thing for other states?
Certainly, they certainly would have the opportunity to file the same thing we did. They may end up obviously in a different circuit, different judge. They might get a different answer. You know how that goes, depending on where you file. We filed ours in Texas, and we were pretty certain that we had the right answer and that ultimately the Fifth Circuit will find the same thing, and we think ultimately the U.S. Supreme Court will. So these states have the opportunity, if they want, to go try the same thing, because if obviously we get different answers in different circuits, they'll end up at the U.S. Supreme Court anyway.
So I know New York and I know Texas. If New York had a $350 million windfall, they would immediately be talking about ways to invest it. Texas, is Governor Abbott going to return this money to the people?
So we don't have the money yet. We won't get it until the appeals are over.
Yeah.
But ultimately, this money is coming back, and the legislature will have the opportunity to decide what to do with the money.
Are you signing like warrants for people, or what are you doing right now? I hear the pen scratching across the table.
That's not me.
Okay. Okay. So may I change the subject here?
Absolutely.
There is. Oh. First of all, how's your wonderful wife?
Oh, I should. I'm going to answer that question, but I want to thank you, by the way, for covering that Obamacare, because no print media in Texas covered that story. It was a huge win for Texas. They constantly complain that we're wasting taxpayer resources by filing lawsuits like this. And then when we are successful, they don't, no print media in Texas covered it.
That's none. Insane.
Not one. None.
Because we were successful. That doesn't play into their narrative, and so they just ignore that it happened, and then they'll complain later that we spent too much money, but never acknowledging that, you know, I think our total cost of the case was less than $200,000, and we're going to bring in over $300 million, and then going forward, it'll be, you know, it'll be millions of dollars going forward every year.
Ken, how concerned are you about the blue wave in Texas? How many years are we away from, or how close are we to having the possibility of a blue wave with all these people coming in from California, especially, and the money being poured in to Texas to change it blue?
Well, and that's the reason I'm so interested in the wall being built, not as much on the southern border, but actually the wall that keeps the Californians from voting the wrong way.
The actually, Californian boat people.
You know, obviously, we're concerned about it. We have people coming in from all over the country who are leaving their states because, you know, because of the problems that were created by bad policies, by liberal policies. We're hopeful that those people don't come here and vote the same way, trying to escape the bad policies there and then voting for those same policies here.
Yeah, but hope is a step away from despair on that one.
I'm not sure that they're all voting that way. We're going to find out a lot. I mean, you just asked me about my wife, Angela, running for the state senate. In Collin County, which has been known as a very Republican county, and yet we had Toyota move there and bringing in lots of Californians. We're going to find out how that's affected elections, I think, this cycle.
Okay. Let me switch subjects. And this may be out of your expertise, but I'd like to see if I could get some opinion from you on this. Let me start here. The Facebook, Twitter, all of these platforms are targeting conservatives and removing voices. And I'm a free speech absolutist, especially if you've built a platform. These same companies went to the United States and said, we need protection. We're not publishers. We're just open platforms. And this was because of the back page thing. And they said, so we can't be held responsible for what was on our platform because we're just a platform. Again, we're not publishers. And so they got that special protection. doesn't that special protection now require them to at least not target you know, half of the country and squash our voices?
You know, I would absolutely agree with what you just said. It's certainly an issue that a lot of AGs, particularly Republican AGs, are concerned about, because, you know, we're seeing some of those same issues that you're talking about. And we have our questions. And at this point, you know, we're asking questions. We haven't gotten a lot of answers.
So is this something that I'm wildly concerned. I mean, I am no friend of Alex Jones. I do not like Alex Jones. He's been a pain in my ass since 9/11, and has caused me great trouble. And my first active real death threat that people were actively trying to carry out came from Alex Jones and his audience. And so I have no love for this guy. But I'm really disturbed that his voice can be erased in our society, and yet those same platforms will let Antifa Austin post that they want a Red Army. They want two of them. One that just only has, you know, an army that just uses clubs and sticks and flagpoles to beat people into submission. And then they want an actual militarized Red Army that will take care of the rest. That's on Facebook. That's on Twitter.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. You know, it's interesting because we've asked questions about, like, my particular Facebook page and how it's becoming more difficult to attract followers. And we're like, why is it harder for us than it used to be? We're doing the same things. And they claim that it's the algorithm. It's always the algorithm, whatever that means, but they never explain, you know, the algorithm and why we can't get the things out we need to get out, and why it seems like negative stories come up on conservatives and Republicans more than positive stories.
There's two. Another story here that involves two different angles that I've been warning about for a while, and I'm seeing them now. This is starting to accelerate. In New York, they decided to send a letter to all of the financial institutions that the state of New York would look at your responsibility as a financial institution if you were doing business with the NRA or any of these gun stores or gun manufacturing. If you're making loans to them or credit cards, they would have to take a look at your social responsibility as a company. Bone chilling. Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, I agree. I was going to say scary.
Yeah. Terrifying.
Obviously that's affecting a Second Amendment right, which is obviously fundamental to what our founders believe we needed to protect ourselves from our own government. And so they're affecting Second Amendment rights, not just in New York, but if that policy goes into effect in New York, then obviously it changes policy everywhere. So it's a scary thought that's a backdoor way of eliminating Second Amendment rights. And it also affects interstate commerce and the ability of people around the country to be able to purchase products.
Okay, so try this on for size. This came out, I think, 2 weeks ago, and nobody seems to care about it. Guy named Robert Spencer, he's the editor-in-chief of Jihad Watch. He's not radical. He's not crazy. He's very well researched. He goes farther than I would, but he's in the realm of sane. He's not saying, hey, let's make cartoons of, you know, Muhammad. He's in the realm of sanity. He was just deplatformed because MasterCard said that they would not do any processing for any of his services, so he couldn't make money because his platform is kind of tied to MasterCard. Then today, I just found out the Southern Poverty Law Center has labeled the Freedom Center, this is David Horowitz's group, not a radical hate group by any stretch of the imagination. They have labeled them a hate group, and they've been trying to get organizations like Amazon and Facebook and Twitter to ban us. what they did get is they got MasterCard and Visa to block all donations to David Horowitz's Freedom Center. This means that Freedom Center, that all the work that David Horowitz has done to expose the extreme left, that's all gone because they cannot raise money if they can't process credit cards. What do we do here?
You know, I think it's something we definitely need to look at because here we're talking again about First Amendment rights. And if they can backdoor these things where basically people's fundamental First Amendment rights are limited or completely eliminated, which is what's going to happen, it definitely seems like a strategy of the left that they are pushing across the country in every possible way. And we better figure out a response to, you know, how we're going to deal with it.
Ken, if you get involved in this or if you have any ideas, please let me know. We'll back you. I am very concerned about deplatforming and also losing ability of banking services. It's going to happen. They're doing it now. Ken Paxton, yeah. Attorney General, State of Texas. You're the best. Thank you so much for everything that you've done and getting the $350 million back from the federal government. We'll pray that it continues to go well for you. Keep up the fight, Ken.
Hey, thank you, and thanks for having me on.
You bet. By the way, if you live in Texas, his wife is even stronger than he is, and she's running for state senate. I don't endorse anybody. I really like her. I'm going to vote for her. You should at least look into her. Because I think she's amazing. All right, let me tell you about our sponsor this half hour. It is Casper. In the middle of the night, you're tossing and turning. You're not sleeping. You're drenched. You're covered in sweat. You could run the AC. You could run the fan all night to try to keep cool. Or you could just get rid of your heat-trapping mattress and sleep cool and comfortable like I do on my Casper mattress. All Casper mattresses use premium foams that they helped invent to relieve pressure and to align your body and to make sure that the heat isn't trapped in the mattress. That's the breathable material that guarantees that you're going to get a cool sleep and a comfortable sleep all summer long. Ships free in a box so small you won't believe it holds a mattress. You get it from the front door, you open it up where you want your bed, that thing pops out. It's amazing to watch. And then you try it for 100 nights. If you don't love it, return it. It's risk-free. They come and pick it up. No refund. I mean, they refund every dime. No questions asked. Sleep cool and comfortable every night with a Casper mattress. Casper.com. Use the promo code Beck. You're going to save $50 towards the purchase of select mattresses. That's Casper.com. Promo code Beck. Casper.com. Promo code Beck. Terms and conditions do apply. Yeah. Welcome to the program.
Can I
you down with that?
Address something that's a bit uncomfortable?
Yeah.
Here on the program?
Yeah.
You seem to be in a situation online. Were you hacked? There seems to be
hacked
tweets
just because
with you retweeting and responding to Soulja Boy about various in-depth issues.
Was I hacked just because I let my hair down and I reveal, you know, another side of me? You think I'm hacked? Michelle just came in, my assistant, and she's like, okay, I have to ask because we're all concerned. Were you hacked? And I'm like, the Soulja Boy stuff? No, he's retweeting my stuff.
He is. He's got over 5 million followers.
Yeah.
He's retweeted you and put you on Instagram.
Are you one of the people that just won't admit that he changed the world 13 years ago?
Well, how did he change the world?
Well, if you don't know, you're in denial. You're in denial. That just about everything that we have with music and everything else really came from Soulja Boy, starting 13 years ago.
Really?
Yeah, I'm
Glenn,
on his side.
Back. But Mercury.
So. What are you doing? You listening to Soulja Boy?
I am a little bit.
Yeah.
I'm trying to familiarize myself with
you that. Really don't know who Soulja Boy is. Really?
Well, I mean, I do right now.
Yeah.
You know, I'm watching the video and apparently a very big personality, a big recording artist.
Yeah, yeah. Changed the world 13 years ago.
You keep saying that.
Well, this is the big argument, okay, between his fans and his detractors.
Okay.
You know, some people are like, who's Soulja Boy? And others are like, you just can't admit that he changed the world 13 years ago. Mm-hmm. And that's, I mean, so that's where I live.
Right there. That's where you live?
Yeah, crank that right there.
Because so Soulja Boy in 2003 changed the world. Like when you say he changed the world, what action did he take that changed, or what did he change?
I'm not here to be your tutor, okay, on Soulja Boy.
Well, I think that would be a valid role, considering he's now retweeted you and put you on his Instagram.
No, and I appreciate that, and I appreciate the fact that he was smoking a blunt when he when he put me up there.
You guys probably do agree on federal marijuana policy.
We probably do. Mm-hmm. See, I'm just making friends. I'm just making friends.
You're just a fan.
I'm just a
and a big time defender of his changing the world
13 years ago.
Yeah. Or so 13 or 15? 13. So it's 2005. Years. Sorry. Yeah. I thought it was 15 13. Years ago.
Yeah, no.
My apologies.
So Soulja Boy said, so many people want to see me win. F who don't. And he tweeted that, and it moved me, and I was like, I'm one of those who just want to see you win.
Right, because of the changing the world 13 years ago.
Right, so I tweeted to him, Soulja Boy, we may have bling that's all iced out, but because your hot bars melt that ass, you got drip. And I ain't afraid to say it. Soulja Boy changed the world 13 years ago.
What does any of that mean? Was there a...
You
have a random word generator of some sort you found?
No. You don't. I mean, I hate to quote, because this is really, outdated, but you'll relate to it because of, you don't live the life I do. Mm-hmm. I speak Jive. Remember that from Airplane?
Yeah.
I speak Jive.
Sure.
Okay. And I know you don't speak the language of the streets. A lot of people were saying, I don't know what's going on. A lot of the comments.
I feel like a lot of people might have been panicked by your tweet. I don't.
Well, because they didn't understand what I was saying. Like this person fired up said, I have no clue what this means.
That's a good question. I mean, I would really like it to be explained.
So, if I may explain it, because there's a lot of people that aren't familiar with the language of the streets today, like I am. When your bling is, what bling is.
Like jewelry.
Yeah. So when your bling is iced, that just means it's covered in diamonds.
Okay.
Okay, but his hot bars, meaning bars of music,
Oh, okay. I was going to think gold bars, but no.
Yeah, no.
His musical bars
are so hot, and when I say hot, it's more of a metaphorical...
it's not temperature. It's,
correct. It just means, they're just really quite good.
Okay.
Okay. And so it's so good, it's so quote hot, that they melt his bling into just a giant drip.
Oh my God. Well, that's, first of all, it's terrible waste, I would think, if you were just, you're melting.
It's a metaphorical drip. It's a metaphorical drip. So, mm-hmm. That's when I tweet, and I guess I should have been more clear when I tweeted, we may have bling that's all iced out, but because your hot bars melt that, you got drip. I guess I should have been a little more clear.
Perhaps
this audience, but
you have a different life. I mean, a lot of people say, you the same on the air as off the air?
Well, and yes and no.
90% of the time, yes.
Yeah, but sometimes I just go right to the Soulja Boy life.
What are you trying to accomplish exactly?
I'm just trying to be me, Stu.
You're trying to be you, and you're trying to make sure that everyone knows Soulja Boy changed the world 13 years ago.
I think it's an important wrong to correct.
Okay, and so now you realize that Soulja Boy has retweeted your tweet.
Yeah,
he's also posted your tweet on Instagram.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to thank him for that. Of course, again, in the language of the street, so I'll have to. I'll have to spend a couple of minutes crafting just the right message to Soulja Boy on that.
I would advise against it, but you do what you need to do.
Well, I mean, some people say this is just, you know, maybe it's entertaining because there's nothing more uncomfortable than a dad trying to be cool. Some might say this is just punishment for my children. It's mm-hmm. not. It's not. I mean, I didn't punish my children. What I like to do is I like to take my kid, whichever one has. And this is a serious trouble. You can take your kids, you know, and punish them the way you want to. You can ground them. I will tell you that the most effective punishment that I have found is I like to take them to the mall, or, you know, even better, movie theater, maybe Friday or Saturday night. You know, right at the time that the big, you know, teen movie is letting in.
Mm-hmm.
And I like to take them there. And then I do the Soulja Boy dance, you know, as a dad with gray hair and a little overweight, a lot overweight. and I dance to, you know, songs that I make up that revolve around my son or daughter's name.
Oh, so you're identifying them in the song.
I'm like, boo doo boo doo boo doo boo doo boo. Rafe. Rafe is my son. Ooh, doo. Oh my He's God. Right here. And they love it. They love it.
Oh my God.
And so when they are thinking about screwing up, all I have to say now is, boo doo boo doo boo doo boo doo. And they go white.
I'm not sure if this story is better now or when it will be told in therapy later on.
My dad, he used to take me to the movie theater when I screwed up. And he did this dance and it was so disturbing.
Mm.
Yeah, yeah. So, kids, just remember that I am working up to asking Soulja Boy to come with me. To do that dance with me as I sing your names. So I'm just.
You get that in front of even. You have a few million people on social media and then another few million from Soulja Boy. That would really get the reach out there. So
it
your kids
would.
Could
it would.
Make sure people see.
It would.
Mm-hmm.
It would.
A couple of news developments can we get to real
sure.
quick? One of the arguments that has come from. Reporters who are on the White House beat for months has been that Michael Cohen is comparatively a small fish in comparison to Alan Weisselberg. Weisselberg is the Trump Organization CFO,
mm-hmm.
and he is the guy who every financial, you know, how Trump correctly at times will say Cohen. Well, Cohen was doing small deals. Cohen wasn't. He was close to Trump and handled some of Trump's, you know, shadier escapades,
mm-hmm.
but he was not like a big piece of the organization financially. Mm-hmm. Weisselberg is. He's the guy. He has just been granted immunity by prosecutors in the Cohen investigation as well. So
but that doesn't necessarily mean he has anything.
It could mean that he just had stuff on Cohen, right? So, I mean, this is in the Cohen investigation. However, the immunity given to other figures in the administration has been talked about a lot. Weisselberg is one they've identified from the beginning that if they had him, you know, telling everything he knew, it could be a big problem for a lot of people in that
it
circle.
Could be it could if be. There was something wrong with Trump.
Right. But if there this is a good point. If there is something wrong with Trump, and again, we haven't seen it particularly yet. But if there is something wrong, he would be probably the central figure in knowing where the money went. And this goes back to past business dealings and all sorts of stuff. And Trump was very clear at the beginning. He didn't want any of that going on because it's way off the beaten path of the supposed target of the investigation. But if it goes to his business dealings, that could be an issue because, you know, this wasn't a time where he was worried about running for president of the United States per se. So we'll see. It's something that. I was
much happier when we were talking about boot, 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 boot.
I'm not sure the audience was.
Okay, all right. I was happier. I was happier. There's this leads me to something else that I want to just highlight before I go on vacation that I want you to pay attention to. We're gonna cover this when I get back in great detail, but I need to pass on a couple of warnings that I see on the horizon that are deeply concerning, and they will affect you. They will affect your job, and they will affect your bank accounts. I'll do that here in just a second. First, let me tell you about our sponsor. I love this sponsor. It's ZipRecruiter. I use this sponsor here at work. They're great. I wish I would have used them when I was looking for Stu, but I don't even know if they were in existence back then.
Oh, I'm right here. You found me.
Yeah, but we could have done so much better. I mean, if we would have used ZipRecruiter...
It's true, because, you know, I pretty much just showed up at the radio station. You know, you probably could have gone out and looked for a really good producer, someone who had experience.
Exactly right. Yeah. So here's the problem. Here's the problem, Stu. You know, I feel like hiring, when I hired you, I was kind of like Darth Vader, you know, when he was hiring all the clones.
Mm-hmm.
Sure, he's got a lot of them, but none of them can shoot.
Right.
With any accuracy.
No, no.
Right?
Right.
You know? Mm-hmm. So we know ZipRecruiter doesn't exist in the future. At least for the Empire.
That was a long time ago.
Oh, a long time ago. So they didn't exist a long, long time ago. They should exist now because they could hire people that could shoot. Anyway, ZipRecruiter will send your job to over 100 of the web's leading job boards, but they don't stop there. They have powerful matching technology. ZipRecruiter scans thousands of resumes to find people with the right experience and invite them to apply to your job. Applications come in, they analyze each one, they spotlight the top people so you never miss that great match. It's ZipRecruiter.com. Try it today for free. ZipRecruiter.com, that exclusive web address is so you can try it for free. ZipRecruiter.com/Beck. The smartest way to hire. ZipRecruiter.com/Beck.
Glenn Beck.
Okay. I want to talk to you a little bit about war and your pocketbook. Let me start with war. I'll get into the greater details when I come back. And I have reason for saying this, and I'll explain those reasons when I come back. But I believe we are beginning to prepare for global war. And there are several things that stick out that make me... make me believe that, I mean, it may be 1939 for the United States of America when we didn't have any intention to go to war, but we saw the war clouds and we said, you know, we should start doing some things. That didn't mean that war was imminent, but there were enough smart people to go, I think we're headed towards a huge war. We're changing footing, I believe. You should be aware of that, and I'll make that case when we come back. Here's where it affects your pocketbook. There's something else that is going on. The S&P 500 recorded record net profit margin of 11.6 in the first quarter of 2018. That's the highest net profit margin from the S&P since financial data began tracking. Now... This is a problem because we're now starting to see shortages cropping up because of rising cost. Caterpillar, headwinds, they say, all year. That's because of steel. Pepsi, the soda and snack maker, PepsiCo, feeling rising costs. Tyson Foods, popular brands, Hillshire Farm, Jimmy Dean, they say the increased cost of freight has affected all four segments. We're also seeing increased labor costs. Hershey, UPS, Procter & Gamble made similar comments. And this leads you to the conclusion that we are having rising inflation. Now, it has been a long time since this nation has had real, substantial stagflation or inflation. The last inflationary period was 1965 through 1982. And in 1965, inflation was below 2%. By 1965, inflation was 5%. 74, 10%. And by 1980, it was 15%. Now, what does that mean? It means that your dollar is worth less and less the higher inflation goes. Let's say you put $100,000 in the savings in 1965. In 1965, you could have $100 and it would buy $100 worth of goods. By 1969, because of inflation, that same $100,000 would now cost you $116,000 if you wanted to buy the same exact goods. In 1974, you want to buy the same $100,000 worth of goods, it's now going to cost you $156,000. By 1981, to buy the same goods that you would have had in 1965, the same power of the dollar, it would have cost you $100,065. Just due to inflation, those goods would have cost you $288,000. What this means is that you're purchasing, it's stealing money from your bank account. It's you might feel like you have the same amount of money or more, but you actually don't. Germany is also now talking about dumping the dollar. There's a lot of things happening. A lot of it is revolving around this, these ridiculous trade wars. They have to stop. They have to stop. We'll give you all the details in detail when I come back from vacation. Have a safe week. Enjoy Pat and Stu. We'll see
Glenn,
you in a week.
Beck, Mercury.